Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Sidebar Chats. I'm Claire McKenna, senior writer and researcher with Bar Advisory, and today we're joined by Alex Bovey, CEO and co-founder of Conductor One, to discuss best practices for modern user access reviews. A recent study by Core Security showed that 75% of organizations that use identity and access management solutions saw a reduction of unauthorized access incidents. With that statistic in mind, a user access review program is an essential part of every risk management strategy for companies to stay both secure and compliant. So, Alex, you're our expert today. Let's get started. What are user access reviews and how should companies manage them?
Yeah, absolutely. User access reviews are a compliance and security control that helps security teams and GRC teams reduce the standing privileges of employees and contractors and users broadly in the organization to achieve least privilege. It's a super important part of that security program because what it means is that it decreases the overall attack footprint for your organization and makes sure that accounts and identities in your organization have the right level of access and really no more access than they need to do their job.
Awesome. Thank you for that explanation. How often should companies execute these user access reviews and what information is typically reviewed in that process?
Yeah, we see it across the board in terms of the time frame that companies use to perform user access reviews. Kind of worst case scenario is something like a yearly user access review. Best case scenario is a very timely user access review where it maybe is contextually driven based on a role change or someone rolling off a project. But what we see is also a lot of companies in between there. If companies have really done a good job of operationalizing user access reviews and they have a lot of automation in place, they can usually hit a monthly user access review train where they're kind of breaking up what they're actually reviewing on a monthly basis and making sure that consistently access is being reviewed in the organization. I'd say probably the most frequent we see is quarterly user access reviews. In terms of what information is reviewed, it really depends on what your goals are. If your goals are completely security driven, you may review just sensitive access to infrastructure systems within your environment to make sure that that no one is overprivileged and that users have been correctly decommissioned if they've been deactivated in the organization. And then from a compliance, external compliance framework standpoint, different frameworks have different requirements in terms of what you review. So if it's SOX, usually that's a little bit more financially oriented. And so those systems are in scope versus something like SOC 2, which really cares about the holistic business, how that business is run. And you see everything from source code repositories to infrastructure to your sales systems being in scope for SOC 2.
Great. Thank you for that. You already touched on this a little bit, but could you give a brief overview of what a typical user access review process should look like? Maybe what some of the most important steps are?
Yeah, definitely. Generally speaking, every company does it a little bit differently, but we do see a set of sort of standard steps that most companies follow in this process. The first is to really understand your system inventory, if you will. What are the different systems that are in scope? Who owns those systems? Who are the different resource owners within those systems? And kind of collecting and managing that list in the organization. We see a lot of automation around these steps. So trying to make sure that you're pulling all the data out of those systems in a consistent way and putting that into some sort of a format that you can use to conduct your user access reviews. Once you've got that data in place, you want to identify who the actual reviewers of those different entitlements and permissions and access are. Usually that's, it's mapped into the tool or the spreadsheet or whatever it is that you're using. And then conducting that process is really fundamentally about collaboration. So making sure that you're reaching out, you're pinging the correct people to do those user access reviews, you're getting the feedback that you need on the different levels of access, and then following up as quickly as possible to make sure that you're revoking or removing access or changing access if that's necessary.
Great. Let's dive in there a little further. Who is responsible for access reviews, and what should organizations do to create internal accountability around such an important process?
This is one of the things that I love the most about user access reviews is they're fundamentally a very cross-functional and collaborative process. If you think about the different constituents in place, you have usually your GRC teams or GRC personas responsible for probably conducting and running the overall user access review process. You have security teams that are going to be informing the requirements and the inputs that go into those user access reviews. You have the individual system owners or the resource owners or managers who are going to be providing that feedback into the user access reviews and making the decisions on as to whether or not access should be retained or changed. And that, you know, really requires, I think, a lot of collaboration across those different teams, making sure to make sure that that is as simplified and as streamlined as possible. In terms of setting expectations, you know, it's really about just being clear on timelines and goals, getting that buy-in early on. If it's your first time conducting user access reviews, getting that buy-in early on in terms of the expectations of the different parties involved in them. And then if you're doing it on an ongoing basis, making sure that you're just communicating up front in terms of what's going to be reviewed during a user access review, who's going to need to provide input, and setting and getting clarity on the expectation in terms of timeline and when you need that input.
That's great. So you've touched on what organizations really need to be doing. What do you see as the most common mistakes that organizations make when they're conducting these access reviews?
Yeah, there's a handful of, I think, footfalls that we see companies making. One is candidly just not investing enough in automation. If you really want to achieve that security outcome of least privilege access control, it necessitates that you move those user access reviews as near real time as possible, which you really just cannot achieve without some level of automation. So automation in terms of being able to ingest the data from the different systems and actually run the access review, get the inputs, and then do the revocation. So I think that's one place. Another place is not providing enough context to reviewers. A lot of times access reviews might be conducted, let's say, on a group membership, but that group membership might grant downstream access or entitlements, potentially even across different systems. It's really important for the reviewers that are making these decisions to understand the context of the access that's being asked of them to review in order that they can make the right decision. And so it needs to have a little bit of security context. It needs to have a little bit of context in terms of what the implications of the access is. And I think the third mistake is really around the timeliness of it. A lot of times, particularly if you don't have automation in place, you might be pulling data out of systems, creating the user access reviews, and then running them. And there's a lag time there. And what that can create is an opportunity and a window with which your environment can actually change. Users can be offboarded, users can be onboarded. And so if you get too much of a window there of lag time, it can really create some issues, particularly from a compliance and audit perspective, when you have external auditors looking at the results of those reviews and they find discrepancies in what was reviewed versus what your environment looked like at that time.
Got it. Thank you. You talked a lot about automation in that answer. Let's keep talking about that. How else does automation improve the access review process?
Automation just really helps streamline that whole manual process from being potentially weeks of setup time, aggregating data, weeks to run the reviews and collect the feedback, and then days, if not weeks, to actually attenuate and remove the access to, ideally, just a few clicks in a software tool. You can use software tools for that. You can build some of this automation yourself, but as much as you can, automation helps at the front end because it allows you to pull in that application population data and the roles and groups and permission assignments in the applications and centralize that into a single place. That cuts a lot of time out of that effort. Automation helps you in terms of streamlining and collecting the feedback and the actual results of the user access reviews. And then automation can also help you with the revocation processes as well. So all of those processes can be run with spreadsheets, IT ticketing, lots of emails and reach out, but as much as possible, if you can automate that process, it really reduces the time to run the user access review to be pretty near real time.
Thank you. Switching gears a little bit, how do access reviews help companies have a smooth audit process?
Yeah, I mean, from our perspective, there's really two objectives of user access reviews. There's the security objective, and that security objective is about reducing, again, your standing footprint of privileges and making sure that privileges are right size based on what people need to complete their job. And then there's the compliance outcome, which is really achieving and meeting your controls from a compliance framework perspective. And so we see, on the latter side in particular, the need for a lot of traceability. You really need to prove that the application population data that you pulled out of those applications was up to date at the time, that it wasn't tampered with, that when you ran the user access reviews, it was ran across that entire population of data, and that the results were acted on in an appropriate and timely fashion. That's important from a security perspective as well. But really from a compliance perspective, I would say that auditability is the main thread there, where you want to make sure that you're meeting that auditability threshold.
That's great. Thank you for that. My last question for you, you've provided so much great insight so far. Is there anything else you want our audience to know about user access reviews?
I think the main piece is that user access reviews are just it's an ingredient to a security and compliance program. And it's a very valuable and important tool into helping companies achieve least privilege access. There are other elements to that, but we really do, I think as an industry, view this as one of the most effective tools you can use to make sure that you are achieving your security and compliance objectives and getting closer to least privilege and zero trust-based access to your environment.
Great. Thank you. That's it for today. Alex, thank you so much for sharing all of this valuable information on the importance of user access reviews. This information will absolutely help our clients and our partners to stay secure and compliant. We really appreciate you joining us on Sidebar Chats, and we look forward to seeing everyone next time.
Thanks a lot, Claire. Nice meeting you.